Welcome to Microsoft's GovCon Straight Talk. This show educates finance and project management executives on the ever-changing compliance requirements necessary to do business with the government. Today's show will focus on budget reprogramming, Stimulus 360, and more. Here's your show moderator, Tom Temin.
And welcome to the panel. Our panelists today are Mike Batt. He's director of Microsoft Dynamics State and Local Government, Healthcare, and Education. And Mike Teller, he's the CIO in the Office of the Chief Financial Officer of the D.C. government. And Jim Townsend, president of Infostrat, a company that advises people on lines of business solutions. And today we're going to focus on the CRM side of Microsoft Dynamics. And I'm Tom Temin. Well, let's start with Mike Teller from D.C. government. You have an interesting case history of some work done with Microsoft Dynamics. Tell us what your challenge was and what you were able to accomplish with your shop.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, the Office of the Chief Financial Officer for the District of Columbia is charged with supervision and oversight of all of the funds for the district government. And as such, as you can imagine, across 125-some agencies, even though there are policies and procedures that are consistent and are in practice, particularly the in each agency, where there were manual processes and processes that were supplemented with spreadsheets, they were tweaked for each agency. So when we had a project, a financial transaction that had to cross agencies, it was not as efficient as it could be. So what we wanted to do was put in place a system that allowed us to streamline how we did financial transactions that had to cross multiple agencies.
So in other words, you wanted to make sure you could compare apples to apples to apples across agencies because to take out those variations in how they did their reporting.
Right. And also to make sure that everything was auditable, everything was transparent, and mainly as we go forward in these tight economic times that we were doing things more efficiently. And what we've been able to do is now literally do things in hours that used to take weeks.
Give us an example of the type of thing that, say, a report, for example, that used to take so long that you can now do in hours.
Okay. Well, these are financial transactions.
Okay.
So the first one that we did was what we call reprogrammings. So in an agency, at the beginning of the year, there's a budget. And in that budget, there's things that are designed to be spent for certain transactions or certain activities. Well, during the course of the year, that could change. And so those funds have to be reprogrammed. An agency director can't just decide, I'm going to buy pencils instead of cars or whatever. So that has to be transacted through the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, and particularly when funds have to be reprogrammed between agencies. We need more money for snow removal, so we're going to do less somewhere else. So those funds have to be coordinated between the various agencies, the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, the executive, the mayor, and the council.
Okay, and Mike Batt from Microsoft, tell us how Dynamics supports those kinds of processes and generally how it works in a situation like that.
Thanks, Tom. Well, Dynamics CRM, as we would think of it in normal commercial terms, would be customer relationship management. But in government, it's XRM, or extended relationship management, or anything relationship management. So as Mike was mentioning on the D.C. government side with budgets and some of the reform that they have in the D.C. government, what Dynamics CRM allows is from a foundation of a user interface that looks and feels like Outlook and the rest of the Microsoft products. It has things like workflow and reporting and auditing built in to start from as a foundation. And then organizations like Infostrat work with customers like the DC government to extend that. That's what we refer to as XRM, to extend to meet the specific government functionality.
And Jim Townsend, you are from Infostrat. You're the CEO. And so tell us what you see across governments. You deal with state and local and healthcare organizations. I guess maybe the underlying factor is nonprofit situations. So tell us what you see in terms of their trying to use CRM solutions to try to solve their problems. What are the themes here?
Well, the driving trend is doing more with less, working with tight budgets and tight deadlines to achieve the missions of government. And I think that customers are looking for a less risky and less expensive approach than traditional custom development. And that's how we came upon Dynamics CRM as a platform to build solutions out of the box instead of coding from scratch.
Okay, and so let's get back to DC government for a minute. Mike Teller, what are some of the benefits you've been able to realize as a result of the process change you accomplished?
Well, one of the things that we tried to do is, Jim said, get away from building code from scratch using commercial products. So what we did was we put in place an architecture that allows us to move financial transactions consistently, having only built it once, and then we can add different transactions. So in the example here, we had to do the body of work to link the workflow to our financial systems. That was done once. Then we had to develop the actual processes for the chief financial officer's employees that work in every agency. We did that once. Now, as we add new transactions, we only have to add the transactions. So in addition to being able to have increased transparency, increased auditability, and, again, literally do things in hours that used to take weeks, now we can add new transactions in a matter of weeks rather than months or years.
So it's a money saver as well because of all the man hours saved in doing all that.
Yes.
And so, Mike Batt, what are some other examples across governments you've encountered that are using this type of process change?
Well, it's interesting because, again, when we think of Dynamics CRM, you, again, think of relationship management. But Dynamics CRM has been used across many organizations. If we start even in the federal space and think of the Department of Defense, they've been using Dynamics CRM for task management, which helps them automate things like logistics and personal evaluations, information requests, awards, and many other things. And then think of Freedom of Information Act, and we have an application that's been developed called Public Records Tracker that numerous civilian agencies on the federal side, as well as many state and local governments, have been leveraging that over the last number of years.
And Jim Townsend from InfoStrat, looking at a place like DC government, let's face it, it's been challenged over the years managerially, as so many local and municipal governments have been. And so how can this help across the government functionality, say, within a given city?
One of the advantages is that once the customer installs the infrastructure, then all of the solutions can be built faster. And so the incremental solutions can be stood up very quickly. In the case of DC government, the stimulus came along, and DC government was already positioned to use a Microsoft solution called Stimulus 360 that was implemented in about 3 weeks to report back to the federal government on how stimulus money was being spent. And it turned out that over 20 governments around the country, including 6 states and several major cities, ended up using Stimulus 360 last year.
Yeah, because this has really been a mandate from the administration, which ultimately is tracking all of the stimulus money, but it goes through so many channels. Mike Batt, how does it work, 360, in the CRM and the Microsoft Dynamic underlying environment?
Yeah, Dynamics 360 really helps the grantees, you know, identify those grants that are out there, track those grants, manage them, and then report them back to the federal agencies that might have granted those funds. And now on top of that, we're actually extending Stimulus 360 with Grant 360 to further support the grantee side of things to review grants, award grants, and develop the workflow along those lines.
So it sounds like people doing that approach won't end up on the red side, say, of the recovery.gov website, where everything is presented, both good guys and bad guys, with respect to handling federal money.
Right. No, it's helping everyone work collaboratively, both the grantee and the grantor.
And Mike Teller, did DC have that capability to?
Right. That's exactly what I was trying to say, is that because we had done the work of linking it to our financial systems, and because we had done the work of actually documenting and having the flow of information within the OCFO, we were able to bring up the Stimulus 360 in about 3 weeks.
So, wow. Okay, and no new hardware, and you didn't have to roll in a lot of expensive changes that way as well?
Okay. We used our existing infrastructure and worked well.
All right, what about open source? That's something you hear a lot in the implementation of governmental solutions. Jim Townsend, tell us about open source in the Microsoft Dynamics context.
So people don't think of Microsoft first when it comes to open source. But Microsoft actually has a mechanism, a website called CodePlex for open source, and that's how a lot of these solutions are distributed. And we've embraced the idea of open source for solutions like Stimulus 360 and Grants 360. We believe that government needs to leverage the work that has been done by other governments to bring solutions to these agencies more quickly than they normally could.
And Mike Batts, can you elaborate on the open source issue for Microsoft? Because I think you're right. People may not think of Microsoft first of mind, but that's probably not the best perception.
Sure. We've actually embraced it with open arms. And as Jim said, with CodePlex, we're sharing more and more code and applications out there for our customers to share on those best practice wins. I mean, one great example that I can think of is the Pennsylvania Office of the Attorney General. They are actually developing, you know, up to 50 applications to date with Dynamics CRM, everything from citizen service 311 to asset management. And one of the latest applications they're building is a criminal investigation application. And they're going to share that once it's completed and allow us to put that on CodePlex for all organizations across the country to share.
And Mike Teller, in D.C. government, what were some of the considerations you had before choosing a platform? Again, with the understanding that you can't endorse a product here, but you still went through a procurement process.
Yes,
and evaluation.
Absolutely. With everything, we go through a free and open procurement process. We evaluate various alternatives and through the standard selection process, working with our Office of Procurement, we pick what's the best value for the citizens of the district.
You're listening to the GovCon Straight Talk Show, sponsored by Microsoft on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests this morning are Mike Batt from Microsoft, Mike Teller from the D.C. government, and Jim Townsend from Infostrat. We're going to take a short break and resume the conversation in just a moment. I'm Tom Temin.
Microsoft Dynamics enables government to leverage technology to improve business processes, budget reprogramming, correspondence management, Freedom of Information Act solutions, and many others are available today. Visit govserver.com or publicsectorondemand.com to gain ideas on how government is using Microsoft Dynamics CRM to drive transparency and efficiency in government.
Welcome back to the GovCon Straight Talk Show, sponsored by Microsoft on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests today are Michael Batt. He's director of Microsoft Dynamics State and Local Healthcare and Education Sector. Mike Teller is the CIO in the Office of the Chief Financial Officer of the D.C. government. And Jim Townsend, president of Infostrat, an advisor to governments on lines of business solutions. And speaking of solutions, I wanted to talk about the idea of hosting and cloud computing, because that seems to come up in the context of a lot of business process reengineering, which is kind of what we're talking about here today. And so let's start with you, Mike Teller at DC government. Tell us what your hardware and hosting situation, data center setup is now, and whether you're looking to consider the cloud.
Well, absolutely. One of the things that, beside getting out of the business of writing code and using commercial off-the-shelf software, in our strategic plan, we definitely want to move out of the hosting business also over the coming years as it matures. I think it's critical, though, to differentiate between hosting applications in the cloud, which we're very open to, and hosting data. Our data is private and considered privileged, particularly tax data, and we do not see that moving to the cloud. We would continue to maintain that in our high security zone.
And so that can make for a fairly complicated architecture. Mike Batt, can the Microsoft Dynamics platform support situations where people might want to have the application and other services hosted externally, say in the cloud, and the data they want to keep close at hand?
Absolutely. I mean, Microsoft's actually been in the cloud business for over 15 years. If you think about solutions like Hotmail and Xbox Live and others. So we've been in the cloud for, 15 plus years. And now if you think of taking the infrastructure, that would be Microsoft's Azure with Windows and SQL for the core infrastructure, and then our business productivity suite and with Office in the cloud now, and Dynamics CRM online. So the complete framework of the infrastructure, the business productivity, and the business solutions all in the cloud. And you know, some of the solutions we've just been talking about are actually hosted in the cloud today with the public records tracker, with Stimulus 360 and others.
So a customer could say, hey, I want to do it this way. I want to have it all hosted, applications and data right in my own data center. Or I want Microsoft to host the data in the application center, or they can divide it. I have the data, you have the applications in your data center. That's all possible?
Yes, all of those options you just mentioned are out there today and available.
And Jim Townsend from InfoStrat, what are you seeing across the range of state and local and nonprofit governments, nonprofit organizations that you do business with? What are they thinking about cloud? How popular is this idea?
There's a tremendous amount of hype around cloud computing, and not all the technology is there for us to jump in with both feet. But that said, people want to have the option to use part of it in the cloud, part of it hosted on-premise. About a third of our Stimulus 360 customers went hosted, which is especially helpful for a smaller government where you don't have a large server infrastructure and it takes too much time to stand up incremental servers. So one of the things we really like about the Microsoft platform is it's the same code running both in the cloud, hosted, dedicated to that customer, and running on-premise. With many of the other cloud offerings, you don't have the option to bring it in-house, so you don't have as many ways you can lay out your architecture.
So is there a synchronizing issue that has to take place to make sure everybody's looking at the same data at the same time?
Well, you certainly have to synchronize data and also integrate with systems, because these financial systems don't operate in a vacuum. We need to integrate with accounting systems. Many of those are legacy systems that have been around for 20 years or more.
And Mike Batt, as Mike Teller said, the data itself is very obviously precious to the city and something they have to guard for a variety of reasons, you know, the integrity of the financial data and the privacy of the people connected with it. And there's many reasons. And so what is the how can you make sure that that's maintained if someone were to host everything with the cloud or with the Microsoft Azure, something like that, in the Dynamics environment? Can you offer that assurance?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we have data centers throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, but here in the U.S. specifically, we have multiple data centers that meet all of the most stringent security requirements to host both in a shared environment and a dedicated environment.
And let's talk about scale for a minute, scale and scalability. And I'm going to start with you, Mike, from the D.C. office, the D.C. CFO's office. And give us an example or an idea, rather, of how many users are hitting on this system. You have it's called BRAMS that reprograms the information.
Right.
And also some sense of the scale of the data that you're dealing with and some of those figures. Yeah.
The budget reprogramming system has approximately 1,600 users. Now, at any given point in time, not all 1,600 will be using it, but the solution itself is very scalable. Thousands and thousands of people could be using it simultaneously. It's not an issue. That's one of the nice things about these modern packages and modern scalable solutions, is that certainly for something the size of the district, they handle it easily.
So it sounds like it could be these kinds of programs, as you mentioned, could be used to scale up to even self-service applications for citizens and maintaining integrity of that when you have unlimited numbers or unknown numbers and up and down numbers that might be touching the system.
Yes, and I work very closely with my counterpart on the mayor's side, Brian Civic, who is the chief technology officer for the mayor. He and I work very closely together, and of course he has a much bigger problem. He's looking at the cloud also, and we cooperate very closely with him.
Great name, Civic, to be working for a municipal government. And Mike Batt, is that the case? You find a scalability must be something that customers ask about when they're going to implement a solution like Dynamics?
Yeah, they do. They ask about it frequently, and it's a really easy answer because the scale is basically unlimited. It's tightly integrated in with things called Active Directory for authentication, and think of your email. I mean, the same scale you'd get with your email to however many thousands and thousands of users, same thing with Dynamics CRM. Very tightly integrated.
And Jim Townsend, do you find that customers are sometimes, especially if they're small governments or small institutions, do they get surprised by deployments and the kind of numbers they get? In other words, do they anticipate properly the kind of scale they might need when they get started?
When you have a system that's exposed to the public, it's very difficult to predict what the load will be, especially if it's something new that you've never offered out there before. So you have to be pretty conservative and give yourself the kind of scalability and performance that you might possibly need. You can always go back and meter it and adjust it later, but the worst thing is to create a bad first impression when people hit the site and the performance suffers.
And also there's the case of sometimes these things become famous through social networking and everyone wants to check it, and they may have no connection whatsoever with some city in some distant state, but they want to see what they're up to. And so you have people from all over the country taking a look at it.
Absolutely. Things like weather events or hurricanes, some small town or county could become the epicenter of a major event and draw traffic from all over the world.
And Mike Batt, what are the infrastructure requirements for doing a Dynamics CRM type of setup? Do you need more servers, or can you pretty much, is it a small footprint type of situation?
Well, again, we've got the option where it can be as little as no hardware requirements, where everything is hosted by Microsoft. But if you wanted to host it on premise on your own in your own data centers, it's as simple as a Windows server with SQL Server database for managing the Dynamics CRM.
Okay, and Mike Teller, what are some of the lessons learned from the work you've done at the city in D.C.?
Well, with this application, as with all applications, we learn the same lessons over and over again. The biggest lesson learned is that people are what make the system work. And when we were working across multiple agencies, as you can imagine, 125 agencies, representatives of the chief financial officer in each agency, everybody had their own idea about how this should work and what do the policies and procedures really mean. It took leadership from the associate chief financial officers to say, you know, we really need to do this. This is important. We have to make this work. And the compromises that went into actually figuring out that, okay, we will do things, everybody will do things this way. And it's documented, it's auditable, and it's completely transparent.
Yeah, because with BRAMS, with your reprogramming system, it's really essentially a new application that you're deploying to 1,600 people. What kind of training and learning curve issues were involved?
Because of the tight integration with existing tools, the Microsoft tools, Outlook, the training was basically a couple of hour sessions and then some hands-on for some key people. But again, having the champion in each agency, the person that adopted this and said, I'll show you how to use it. That was the key training tool.
Okay. And Jim, from InfoStrat, when you go into these situations and you're going to change applications and change what people do, what's some good advice for municipalities that are facing this to make sure that the users get in with it so that when the new application is out, they're ready to use it?
Well, I think adoption is the key to success for these applications. And using a familiar user interface that doesn't require a lot of training or dramatically change the way that people do their daily work is critical to driving that adoption. We want to take technical risk out of the equation. We want to reduce the impact on people's daily work lives so that they can focus on the business rules, on the processes, and on just making the implementation more successful.
And without talking about specific, you know, dollars and cents, I wanted to ask Mike Batt from Microsoft, you know, there's a reluctance on small municipal, even now state governments, to undertake 10, 20, 30, 40 million dollar CRM types or ERP types of projects. So in terms of order of magnitude, is this an investment that is affordable by most the customers at the state and local level?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that we have one example after another of where we've taken scenarios that in the past have been $20, $30, $40 million programs, and we've implemented those for, you know, a tenth of that cost for areas like managing the Medicaid eligibility for an entire state, or managing some of the human services case management scenarios. where we've come in at a much lower cost, again, because the infrastructure costs aren't as high, the learning curve, which can be very costly, is not as high, the adoption rate is much faster to accept from that user community.
Because I think it's safe to say that the budgets of municipal government and state government at this time in our economy are pretty stressed right now. So I imagine that's something they ask for, is give me a solution, but really make sure that it's not costly. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, I have an example in that case where we've taken a city that had a 311, all your non-emergency interaction with your local government, a 311 system in place for 5 years. And we actually replaced that with Dynamic CRM for the 311 system. And right out of the gate, two amazing statistics that the customer shared with us was that they were saving over $250,000 a year just in the infrastructure cost. And then the user acceptance, they had more users accept the new 311 system within their departments in the first 6 months than they did in the entire 5 years with their previous system.
And Jim, what's your experience been, again, looking across the spectrum?
Well, I think that the price for entry is dramatically lower than it's ever been in terms of acquiring hardware and software and also these hosted solutions. Some hosted solutions based on Dynamic CRM are as little as $99 per user per month, meaning that a very small city or county could sign up a half dozen people and not make a big upfront investment in hardware and software licensing.
Okay, and let's go back to Mike Teller, CIO in the office of the CFO in the D.C. government. What are some of your future plans? What are you looking at to do next to kind of streamline financial management in a city that's big and growing? We should also congratulate D.C. because it's switched to now to being a growing community.
Thank you. The next several applications that are queued up, the next one is called Memorandum of Understanding. When agencies agree to do things for other agencies, there's a document that has to go through. That's coming out in October. Then there's interdistrict fund transfers, which are basically agreed upon changes of funds between agencies. And then the next one, which we hope to get out in the early fall, is we have to do a financial impact statement on any bill that comes before the legislature. Currently, obviously, the faster that can get to the legislature, the better. So those are the next couple that are in the queue.
So sounds like a lot of future shows. And very quickly, our final question to Mike Batt, where can people go for more information?
Sure. I think from Microsoft's standpoint, you can easily go to Microsoft.com and search on Dynamic CRM and specifically in the government sector for more examples, as well as a site we have called PublicSectorOnDemand.com that'll share numerous solutions that we've talked about today and more. And then companies like Information Strategies would be Infostrat.com that have many examples in this space.
And our guests today have been Michael Batt, Director of Microsoft Dynamics State and Local Healthcare and Education, Mike Teller, CIO in the Office of the Chief Financial Officer of the D.C. Government, and Jim Townsend, President of Infostrat and Advisor on Lines of Business Solutions for State and Local Government. You've been listening to the GovCon Straight Talk Show, sponsored by Microsoft on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Microsoft's GovCon Straight Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any portion of the show, you can listen to the show in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com.
Microsoft Dynamics enables government to leverage technology to improve business processes, budget reprogramming, correspondence management, Freedom of Information Act solutions, and many others are available today. Visit govserver.com or publicsectorondemand.com to gain ideas on how government is using Microsoft Dynamics CRM to drive transparency and efficiency in government.